This is Sid Roth saying, I have a vision. Now is the set time to blow the trumpet in Zion.
Blow a trumpet in Zion. Sound it on the mountain. Blow a trumpet in Zion. For the day of the Lord is come.
Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word, and that's what it means, family. We're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus. Getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar on the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest, by way of telephone, I'm speaking to him at his home in Douglas, Georgia, is Vince Callahan. Vince was a graduate of Regent University in counseling. He had his own counseling career, but in 1994, he was touched by the power of God. And rather than taking years to set people free through good biblical counseling, he can do it in a matter of seconds by laying hands on people. Now, you were telling me about a meeting you recently had in Nigeria. It was for pastors and their wives, and you had a very hard word of knowledge. I mean, this is a meeting of pastors and their wives, and you said, I want all the women that have been raped to come forward. Now, it would seem to me, Vince, that even if there were women that had been raped, they weren't going to come forward publicly.
Right. It's a very tough thing to do. Even the team that was with us, when I started doing this, they were thinking, oh, my God, what's Vince doing? He's crazy. He shouldn't do this. No one's going to stand up. This is too embarrassing. This shouldn't be happening. But it's what the Lord wanted to do. And the women stood up, and they took the risk. And my first thing was to say that I'm sorry. Which, you know, that kind of brings me, one of the things I've learned over the years with, especially women who've been abused, but when people have been hurt, one of the things they want so bad is for somebody just to say they're sorry. I was ministering in New York several years ago, prayed for a lady, took her by the hands, and as I did, the Lord said, tell her I'm sorry. I said, Lord, what? And he said, tell her I'm sorry. So I looked at her and I said, the Lord says he's sorry. Well, when I did that, she began to weep and to sob and to cry, to shake, physically shake for about 20 minutes, and then finally she fell down on the floor. Later, I asked her, tell me your story. And she said, I was brutally raped when I was 2.5 years old. And she said, the one thing I've prayed my entire life, if there really is a God, let somebody say they're sorry. And she said, when you said, the Lord said he was sorry, it let me know there really was a God. He really was concerned about me. And she said, at that moment, it felt like somebody took a Band-Aid and pulled it off of my heart, took all of that hurt, pain, guilt, and shame, and it was gone in an instant. You know, this goes against what I was trained and told to be. I mean, I learned all the techniques of counseling and ask the right questions and do the right things. But I have learned in these last few years there's a supernatural element. I'm not saying people don't need counseling, and I still do some counseling. But I believe there's come a time in the body of Christ where God wants to supernaturally reach in to people's hearts and pull out the junk in an instant. You know, as I've read the Bible, everywhere that someone who was hurting came to Jesus, when they truly met Jesus, in an instant they were healed.
Now, let's go back to this meeting in Nigeria. So you actually, what did you say? What was your announcement?
The ladies were standing, and I asked them to look at me, and the first thing I did was I said, I'm sorry. I am a man who, like men, have hurt you. I want to say that I'm sorry. And there's so much healing in that. Even people who are listening to this show right now, there are ladies, probably men, but more ladies, because typically more ladies are abused than men. But I would wager there are ladies listening to this show who have a secret in their heart. They have been wounded. They have been abused. And the one thing they want is for someone to say, I'm sorry. There's so much healing in those words. And I guess I just want to do that for a minute, you know, to say to those that are listening, if you have been hurt and wounded deeply, abused, raped, those kinds of things, and you carry the guilt and you carry the shame and you feel like you're damaged goods and you just don't seem to fit in, you know, the first thing that you need to hear is that I'm sorry. I'm sorry that a selfish person took advantage of you and hurt you. It wasn't your fault. It wasn't right. There's no excuse for it. And the second thing I want to say is there is a loving God who wants a relationship with you. And in Nigeria, that's what I did. After saying I'm sorry, I asked them, I said, please just close your eyes and lift your hands, and I want to pray for you. And probably for 15 or 20 minutes, I just prayed over them that God would release that junk. And we had testimonies in the crusade, ladies who came and said, this is my story. This man from America said, if you've been raped, and I thought he was crazy, but I stood up anyway, and I admitted what had happened to me. And as I did that, as he began to pray, that stuff left me.
Vince, I can feel such a sweet pouring of the Holy Spirit going over the airwaves right now. One of the things the Lord told you was he wanted you to worship first and work second. How did you react?
I have always been a busy person all my life, and even after revival, it took me a while to learn what his presence was all about and who he was and those kind of things. My mother is a prayer warrior who prayed for me for countless hours. And I used to wonder, how could she pray 3, 4, 5 hours at a time? I pray 5 minutes. Everything I need to do that day goes through my mind, and then I'm through praying. And one day in my office, I had worship music on, which I keep on all the time. And the Lord said to me, would you worship today? I said, Lord, I'm so busy. I've got so much to do. And he said, no, would you worship today first? I said, okay, Lord, I will. So I told my wife, you know, hold my calls and don't come in and don't disturb me. I'm just going to worship a while. And I laid down on the floor and began to tell Jesus that I love him, began to worship. And it seemed like I was there for 5 minutes. And when I looked at my watch when I got up, I'd been on the floor for 5 hours. And that day, there was an intense, sweet presence of the Lord in my office. It was almost thick in the air. And the Lord told me, he said, if you'll worship first and work second, you'll get more done in less time.
You know, Vince, there's an epidemic in this country of prescription drug addiction.
Right.
Tell me about that pastor's wife that was healed.
There was a pastor's wife that we did a conference for, and this lady had come from an abusive home and had gone through a lot of rejection and a lot of abandonment issues in her life. And we ministered to her, and this is one of the ones we talked about earlier who got stuck on the floor. She was literally stuck on the floor for an hour. And
when someone is stuck on the floor, does that mean that no matter how hard they try, they can't get up, or they're not really trying hard?
Well, no, she couldn't move. She tried. I mean, her conscious brain tells her, get up off the floor. It's time to get up. But her arms won't respond to what her brain's telling her. And I've seen that happen a lot where you, it's happened to me. I've been in meetings where I've been on the floor and I've heard, you know, it's time to leave or we're leaving or life's going to turn off. And my brain says, okay, Vince, get up. And my body won't move.
Why is God doing this?
It's a reaction of our physical body to who he is in the supernatural. You know, I hate courtesy falls. You know, if you're getting prayed for and you feel like, well, I'm just going to fall down just so the guy will leave me alone. Or I also hate when people fall down and they get up in 5 minutes. When I read the Bible and I read where the Spirit of God or the presence of God came into a place and you're overwhelmed by it, the typical posture is you're on your face prostrate before the Lord because you can't stand up because it's so intense.
Well, the Hebrew word is kavod. It's glory, and it actually means something that most people don't think of when they hear the word glory. It means a heaviness, a weightiness.
Yes, it is. When the Spirit of God comes into a place, it is a very heavy feeling. And you don't get up. And you don't get up in 5 minutes. You lay there. But this pastor's wife had been addicted to painkillers some, I think, 12, 14, 15 years. Secretly addicted, that of course no one knew about. And at one of our meetings, the Lord had me minister to her. And he stuck her to the floor for an hour. And the cool thing that happened, she tells me the story later, she was in an operating room on the gurney. What she believes was Jesus was on one side. She didn't see the other voice, it was the Father, but she could see Jesus. And laying there, all of a sudden, Jesus had her heart in his hand. It was all mangled. It was scarred. It was just horrible looking. And Jesus said, I don't know if we can fix this one. She's tried so much to fix it on her own. I don't know that we can restore this one. And the Father said, give her a new one. And she said at that moment, her old nasty heart turned beautiful red like it's supposed to be. And then Jesus put that back into her. Now, what's happened in the natural world is when she got up that night on floor, she said, my chest hurts like I've had surgery. She physically felt pain in her chest. But since then, the addiction's gone.
Hmm. Is it someone that's done it the hard way for so long of counseling, a professional counselor, I imagine it still staggers you to see how quickly someone is set free.
It does. It boggles my mind because this goes against everything I was trained to do. Typically, I would see people in my office anywhere from 6 weeks to 6 months to a year.
And you probably didn't have as good results?
No, I mean, you have a few results. But now we go into a meeting and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 500, whatever many people there. I mean, I was privileged to preach in front of 60,000 in Nigeria and minister to 1,200 pastors and their wives in that morning session. But, I mean, you're sitting in front of this number of people, and I know there's a place in God that if you let yourself get to, he then begins to do the work on you. And, you know, the truth of it is I had to get to a place where my ego had to get out of the way. It's not about my training and my techniques and what questions I ask and all that kind of good stuff. Counseling is valid, and I'm not saying it's not, but the reality of it is there's a God who's a whole lot greater than my counseling.
I want to hear more about what God is doing for you. I want you to pray for our people on tomorrow's broadcast. Bishop Bocha, I'm making available this week a very special book. It's from Israel by my friend Robert Fisher, who's done an intense study of the Dead Sea Scrolls. It is absolutely phenomenal what the Jewish people before Jesus came to earth and died and rose from the dead, what the Jewish people were looking for. We know what Jewish people were looking for today that know Jesus, but we didn't know what the Essenes were looking for. That's why so many of these Essenes who wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls became believers in Jesus. And it's so amazing what their thinking was in reference to predestination, in reference to the Trinity, in reference to whether the Messiah would be God in human form. It's almost like the missing link. And then who is Israel? A lot of confusion, but it's all cleared up in this book. For a donation of $20 or more, I urge you to get the book, Full Circle. It's the Jewish roots of the Christian church. They're Nazarene and Essene, and most Christians don't even know what the word Nazarene and Essene mean. $20 or more donation. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzi, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, and to listen to past radio programs, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. Oh,